Welcome to the Sports Betting Preview Podcast from pregame.com.
Pregame.com.
Broadcasting straight from the Las Vegas Strip.
Vegas, baby.
With your host, RJ Bell.
I saw him on ESPN. Can I call Marco Daddy? VR seems wild.
Welcome to the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. This is your host, Marco D'Angelo, sitting in this week for regular host RJ Bell. I'm joined by my partners in crime, Vegas Runner. Vegas Runner, a longtime Las Vegas professional bettor. He's been here since 1995. This guy's never had a job. He's made his living betting sports. Great guy. Also joined by Stephen Nover. Stephen Nover, longtime Las Vegas resident, who is a noted journalist and well-respected sports bettor here in Las Vegas. He's been here since 1984. Stephen, a noted NBA and NFL expert. And, of course, yours truly, Marco D'Angelo. I've been in this business for 30 years. Living in Las Vegas now, from Pittsburgh, and we're ready to take a look at the NBA Finals. How you guys doing this week?
Never better. It's excitement's in the air, but with the Lakers in the Finals being out here on the West Coast, you could already start feeling it. You're starting to see Laker jerseys out and about.
You going to break out your L.A. gear?
No, probably the Orlando gear.
Really?
Just to be different.
Oh, okay. Well,
even though I have a Lakers future, just to be different.
Okay, for our listeners, next week is Vegas Runner's birthday, and a great wife he has. They are going to California, and she has secured Game 5 tickets for Vegas Runner for his birthday. Now, that is a keeper. That's a wife, buddy. You better.
Pending no sweep. Yeah. I'm hoping that it's Game 5. And they could wrap it up because I have a futures ticket. Wow.
I don't know when your wife's birthday is, but let me know, and I'll make sure to take you out, make sure help you hook her up.
Thanks. She's a good girl. She surprised me last night, actually, to make sure I don't have plans.
Okay. No problem.
That's really nice, VR, that your wife would actually take you to a basketball game. All I hope for in my wife is that she leaves me alone so I can watch a basketball game in peace.
She's tired of me complaining because in Philly I was used to going to see all different sporting events, you know, even though I wasn't a Philly fan because we were booking, and you're not a Philly fan if you're a book. Everybody's betting you Philly. But, you know, I'm always complaining that we don't have it here, you know, professional teams to go enjoy.
Well, you have season tickets to the Spearmint Rhino, don't you?
Yeah, box seats.
Okay, well, guys, let's get into the, let's recap the conference finals. You know, everybody, the Lakers silenced the critics. You know, everybody, you know, what was wrong with the Lakers? They struggled with Houston, and then, you know, Denver comes in and, you know, plays them tough for a couple games, and then the Lakers decide to play. They almost like they have a light switch. This team, every time they got their backs to the wall during these playoffs, they've responded, and, you know, they finally look like the Lakers that everybody expected from day one of this season to be in the NBA Finals. Steven, what do you think?
Well, Marco, the Lakers have two things going for themselves, and I said before the start of the playoffs I was predicting the Lakers to win it all. I did think, though, they would meet the Cavaliers in the finals, not Orlando, but I'm certainly not changing my stance. The two things that the Lakers have going is they are the most talented team, and they also have the experience. They were in the finals last year, and I've always said the NBA is like a tier system. This is the Lakers almost did it last year. They're very disappointed they didn't beat the Celtics. This is their time now. They're more talented than Orlando. They have that championship game experience, which Orlando does not have. It's not Orlando's time yet, and I think it's the Lakers' time.
Well, we'll break the finals down a little more detail. VR, what did you take from the conference finals?
Well, the Lakers showed me when it's time to put it out there, they get it done, you know. And every time they've had to win, they haven't just won. They've won convincingly. And like Steven noted, they do have the experience having lost last year. I also think the difference maker is going to be that Cleveland never saw themselves losing to Orlando. I mean, they were already booking hotel rooms. The families were already prepared for the finals. They never expected to lose to Orlando. But I think L.A. is going to have a little more respect for them than Cleveland did. But, again, I look like Steve said, they have the edge, being home number one and number two being there last year. But conference finals, this whole playoffs have been awesome, dude.
It's been a great playoff run. Quickly for the Cleveland-Orlando series, no question, Orlando gave Cleveland just
all they can handle,
but there was such matchup, you know, problems for Cleveland in that series with the way that Orlando could shoot the ball from the outside. And personally, I think that whenever Orlando knocked out Boston, I think psychologically Cleveland thought they had a free ride to the finals. I think they were more concerned about playing Boston than they were playing Orlando. And I know that sounds stupid when you're playing at a stage this big, but, you know, if you avoid your one nemesis, which, you know, Boston was their nemesis last year, and they were able to avoid them, they didn't have to, you know, dethrone the reigning world champs. I think psychologically, they had a mental letdown, and in Orlando, you know, was getting absolutely no respect. I mean, nobody was giving them a chance. Everybody, you know, they're talking about the Kobe LeBron, and it was, you know, a foregone conclusion, and that's kind of insulting to a team. And I think it gave Orlando, you know, the fuel to, you know, to come out and play with better intensity. Because to me, every loose ball, everything. I mean, Orlando just outplayed Cleveland in every facet.
You know, I think from a handicapping perspective, I've been handicapping for a long time, and I always try to learn, and I learned something from this Orlando-Cleveland series. No one, as you said, Marco, gave Orlando a chance, and I certainly thought Cleveland was the right side, too, in that series. But Orlando had a huge dog price because the odds makers also didn't give Orlando a chance, and the perception was out there. This is a preordained Kobe versus LeBron finals. But if you would have seriously studied this from a fundamental standpoint, forgetting the situational thing where the Cavaliers are rested, Orlando struggled against Philly, Orlando had to go seven with Boston, if you would have just really broken this down matchup-wise, because now, after the series is over, it's obvious. Cleveland could not match up to this team. This was their nemesis. And if you could have done this pre-series, you could have gotten a really good price. So maybe don't, in the future, and I'm really saying this to myself too, don't get so hung up on all these perceptions. Break it down. Break it down statistically. There was a little evidence during the season in their two meetings. Orlando, you know, beat Cleveland pretty handedly. They'd always beaten Cleveland handedly at home. And so I think that's a good lesson to take home.
I couldn't be happier. I mean, you know me, Marco. I hated this Cleveland team because they're the one team that was so cocky. And they celebrated all season long with their air guitars and high fives. And every time they blew someone out, they embarrassed them celebrating on the sidelines when the bench went in and shot threes up 30. And the one time that they were the favorite, you saw how they showed up and what class of team they are. They're just not as good as everyone made them out to be. They're a one-man show. And they just don't play like a team. I don't think their plan is good at all. Their game plan is terrible going in. I just there's nothing that impressed me that much about this Cleveland team. Even though I thought they were the right side going in too, I thought when they went to the finals they would have got smacked around by the West.
There's no question that this Cleveland team is too reliant on LeBron. I mean, he had no help in this series. I mean, they had, you know, nobody step in and, you know, take some of the pressure. And Orlando would give him his 40 every night because, you know, if he's getting 40 and nobody else is doing damage, you're not, you know, Orlando wasn't in danger. And that was a great game plan. It's been talked to death. We're going to just talk about it for a brief moment or two because I know it's been on all the sports shows all week, but we're going to do it. What about what happened at the end of the game Saturday with the Orlando Cleveland with LeBron just walking off the court?
Totally classless. I understand you're disappointed, you know, but that's part of sport. I mean, you know, you beat how many teams and they stood there and had to shake your hand after you swept them, embarrassed them on their own home court. Remember that Cleveland closed out the series on their opponent's home court. And yet that team had to bow their heads and shake their hands. And what do? They do the opposite. LeBron does the opposite, a classless act. I just want to say real quick, remember I told you before with the Detroit Pistons, They had beaten Chicago Bulls three straight years, knocked them out of the finals, I believe. And on the fourth year, when Jordan finally beat that Detroit team, Isaiah Thomas was so mad and they didn't like each other, and he went to walk into the dressing room and grabbed Dumars. And Dumars stopped and said, "That boy shook our hand for three straight years. I'm going out there." That's what you do, man. That's what you do.
Sportsmanship. Steven, what do you think?
Perfectly said by VR. Totally classless by LeBron. Was surprised by that.
Like a spoiled baby, you know.
I've been a big LeBron fan the whole time he's come into the league, and that goes back to me being in Pittsburgh, not having an NBA team. So Cleveland was my adopted NBA team, and I loved LeBron. And from a standpoint of the city of Cleveland and maybe possibly what was going through LeBron's mind, I don't condone it. I think it was wrong, and I really do not like his reasoning the next day with the email to Dwight Howard and everything. Again, I think that was even more classless. And
everyone's approaching this with kid gloves because, you know, he's believing all that press. You got to remember, this kid was a prodigy from 13 years old. So he's been treated like a god since young. I mean, everyone's with kid gloves touching
he's,
it.
He's,
like,
he's the heir to Michael Jordan. There's no question about it. And I think that reality set into LeBron at the end of that game. We all know that he's got 1 year left in Cleveland. I think the situation going in this year, it looked like they had the supporting cast for the first time that he's never had to be able to
home games. That was it.
To get it done this year. I think really anything short of the NBA Finals and a championship for LeBron was going to be a major disappointment. I also think in his mind, getting the championship with 1 year left on his contract would have created two things. One, it gets the pressure off of him, and if the town, the city of Cleveland has that championship ring, maybe they can dig deep to get the money that they need to keep LeBron there. Or two, if LeBron decides to go, he doesn't have the guilt of abandoning the city that's never had a championship. And that's what I think was in his mindset, that, you know, if we'd have got it done this year, it would have made his decision easier either way. Either they throw him big money or he can leave that city after next year knowing, hey, I delivered the championship, you know, I owe you guys nothing.
Well, it puts the Cavaliers in a very tough spot going into next year. Obviously, they need to help LeBron. They need to bring in free agents. What big free agent, though, is going to go to Cleveland knowing LeBron's only going to be there one more year? LeBron will not commit further, and so they're not going to do it. So it looks like, I doubt then if Cleveland can, you know, get better.
That's why this year was the crisis year for them to get it done.
I'm so glad.
Okay, let's switch gears. Let's give it a preview. Orlando beat the Lakers both games in a regular season. Now, the big note is Jameer Nelson was in the lineup in both of those games. There's talk that Jameer Nelson's going to try to play. Let's be realistic. If he plays, he cannot be anywhere close to 100% effective. The guy's been out too long. He won't have his game legs. And his style of play, that slashing, quick guard, you don't want to be doing that if you're not at 100%.
Well, also, Marco, what about team chemistry? I mean, I've never been a Ray for Alston fan, but hats off. I mean, he and Anthony Johnson have been doing the job, and you're talking chemistry at a point guard, the most important position as far as team chemistry. So, you know, I don't know how much of a plus that is with Jameer Nelson if he's able to play.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think if he suits up, it'll be a positive mentally because this Orlando's a team. You know, they play as a team. They look towards their bench. I don't think he's going to really disrupt the rhythm that much because I don't think he's going to be expected to do much. I mean, the guy hasn't played since February 2nd. So like you said, he's not in game shape. But then on the positive side, he's also not been banged up. He hasn't had to go through a whole season. So if anything, he could be fresh as well. I think given in spurts to insert a little energy in certain spots, give a little, you know, enthusiasm, a little confidence at times. I think if used correctly, I think this is a positive for Orlando, not a negative.
Personally, I think it's a smokescreen.
Yeah.
I think they want to plant the seed in the Lakers' heads that he's going to play.
Because he dominated them.
That, you know, it gives them something else to prepare for. And then, you know, anytime you got to divide your attention in preparation, you know, that's an advantage. Not that I'm ever going to say Stan Van Gundy's ever going to win any coaching smartness awards on my part. I'm not a big fan of them, but I think it's done for smokescreen. I also agree with you 100% on Steven on the chemistry. There's an adage in football, and I hate every time I hear it. A player doesn't lose his, you know, his position.
It's a lie. It's a lie.
That's a bunch of crap. Yeah. If the backup is playing well and this team is rolling, why in God's name would you want to change it?
Yeah. So Belichick would sit out Brady and bring back Drew Bledsoe, right?
Right. Exactly. I agree with you. The chemistry's there. Now, if he can play and use it as an emotional situation, I think coming off the bench in spurts at times in the game, I think would be okay, and I think it would work well. You're not going to break the chemistry of Alston. You're not going to, you know, you're still going to plant that seed that the guy can play. And, you know, let's say you save him to game three and you're back in Orlando, it'll almost be like, you know Frazier coming out of the locker room. You know,
it isn't a bad thing,
you know. So I look for it that way. That's my take on it. Can the Lakers deal them out? What do you make of the two regular season games? How much stock do you put in it?
No stock. The Lakers catch a big break with the 4 days in between games. Now they get to fully rest, because I thought they'd be tired in that game six against Denver. I was on the wrong side of that game. I thought Denver would win that. L.A. being tired and going into that high altitude, but they came out with a killer look, knowing that, look, let's take care of this. We'll get plenty of rest. The NBA gives us a break with their TV situation, and they're going to be rested.
What do you think?
Myself, honestly, you know, I have a future on the Lakers to win this series, so it's no secret I want to see them win the series. I'm not going to hedge, not because I don't think Orlando can't beat them, because Orlando can beat this Lakers team in a seven-game series, but I just think they have so many factors going their way. They have so many advantages to win this series. They're home, number one, and now it's using the 2-3-2. It gives them even a bigger edge. And this is a team that was 44-7 at home. So, you know, that's going to be pretty tough for Orlando to overcome. Number two, they lost last year. They were there. So I think it's a very tough hurdle for Orlando to be able to overcome. I think we'll be able to tell how this series is going to go within the first half of the first game. If these refs get caught up in the L.A. crowd and the hype of the celebration of L.A. in the finals and call quick fouls on Howard, then this could become a quick series. If they let him play and let him be that monster underneath and take Bynum to school, then Orlando can prolong this series and stretch it out to six, seven games, and who knows what happens. So I think the first half of game one is going to be extremely telling on how these refs are going to approach it with Howard.
Two things that I took from the regular season meetings. One of the meetings, first of all, for Orlando, neither of the games were back-to-back for Orlando. One of the two was a back-to-back for the Lakers. They were playing on back-to-back nights. The other point is Orlando, when they played the Lakers, were playing the Lakers at the peak of their season, when Orlando was the beast of the East, you know, and then they kind of, you know, went to the three seed later in the season. I think that the fact that they were playing their best, they caught Lakers in the game that the Lakers didn't play a back-to-back. The Lakers were coming off one of their arch rivals, the San Antonio Spurs, the game before. So scheduling-wise, Orlando had the advantage both games. Scoring-wise in those two games, even though Nelson had huge games in both, what happened in those games is Orlando, which is their trademark, they had balanced scoring. They had, in the one game, four players in double digits. And in the second meeting in L.A., they had five players in double digits. Anytime you spread the scoring around like that, you're going to win the games. You know,
and
you're
they shot 43% from the three-point line in L.A. And honestly, not to cut you off, Marco, the one thing I wanted to add so I don't forget, I think that's going to be huge. Orlando is a team that attempts 26 three-pointers per game, and they hit close to 40% of them. being on the road for this series and being a team that relies heavily on the three, I think that gives them a disadvantage again. But the Lakers are going to have to step it up against the three. You know, you can't let this team take 25 shots and hit 40% on you.
Well, part of Cleveland's matchup problems against Orlando was a height disadvantage against Lewis and Turkoglu. Right. And L.A. does not have that problem. They have Trevor Ariza and Lamar Odom. Yeah. I mean, they match up better. And that, to me, is, yeah, Howard's going to do damage inside. But to me, Orlando lives and dies with their perimeter guys. Well, they live and die with their perimeter guys. If Lewis and Turkoglu are not on, they're not going to win. Right. And, I mean, Howard, for all his inside dominance, he's not in the class of LeBron and Kobe.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a great series. We'll see. It starts Thursday night. We're taping on Wednesday, so the series starts tomorrow, and all of our guys at the site, the Pro Cappers, will have their plays, you know, up and available. Some of them have them up today already, and we'll be looking forward to game one tomorrow.
Some are even Twittering them.
That's a little inside joke. VR couldn't wait for the finals to start. He actually thought they were starting
on Wednesday. I
thought
the game
Wednesday.
Was tonight. I'm used to the finals starting on Wednesday. Don't you remember? They started on Wednesday, and I thought game one was today, especially since I've been seeing nothing but damn Laker jerseys in the sports book. I assumed the game was tonight.
You're just all excited about your birthday trip. That's okay. Just rub it in because you're going to L.A. You'll be, you know, I know the Twitters will be coming from the beach. You know, you'll be saying, you know.
So when the camera's panning all the celebrities, Jack Nicholson, Ace there. You know.
When I wake up in the morning, my hair looks like Jack Nicholson. All right. That's been a great first segment, guys. We'll be back here in just one moment for segment two. And this is the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast.
For the best deals from trusted sportsbooks, visit pregameaction.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. In segment two, we're going to talk about some baseball, and yes, they're back. The evil empire, the New York Yankees. VR, you know, this team, you know, they've gotten a lot of trash talking this year. They started out slow. They got the big payroll. All
we were
that.
Laughing at them.
We were doing, and look, you know, you look down, here we are, the beginning of June. Who's in first place in the AL East but the New York Yankees? And, again, we're taping. It's audio. You can't see it, but Steven Nover's got his New York Yankee hat on here. Yeah. He's sporting it. I know, but Steven, all the cool kids, they turn the hat slightly sideways. You know, you got to get with the cool kids.
I usually have mine on too. So.
Well, I'm not cool. I was going to wear my Mickey Mantle shirt. You know?
Old school. VR, what do you make of the
they
Yankee
started winning at home. Remember, they weren't the first. When a team starts in a new ballpark, you have to sit back and watch how they're going to play there and how long it's going to take them to get used to playing there. And the Yankees were a 500 team and worse at home through the first 20 games, 25 games. That was the difference, I believe, because if you remember on the road, they were about 500, which isn't that bad. I mean, if you could go a little better than 500 on the road, more times than not, you make the playoffs in baseball, or at least you're contending. And I think that's the difference maker. And this offense, man, I said it when before the year started, how impressed I was by this offense. 1 through 9, you have to pitch. So once them bats got hot, it was going to be hard to beat this team, and that's what's happening. I think they're putting up runs, and they're winning games.
Going back to one of our early podcasts at the beginning of the season, you know, we talked about the new ballpark and that the Yankees were going to be overpriced. I mean, the Yankees are always overpriced no matter what because, you know, they're one of the most popular franchises in all of sports. So you're going to pay a tariff anytime you bet the Yankees. But to couple that with all the hype of the new stadium, you know, the big free agent signings that they have every year, that, you know, they were going to be a go against, you know, all you had to do was hit 500 and you were going to make a healthy profit because they were going to be big dogs. So, you know, again, it pays to listen to all of our podcast, and that'll be a segue into the second team that I'm going to talk about. But one, you know, flip it to Steven about the Yankees. What do you think the big turnaround is?
Well, you got to be careful going against the Yankees. I think there's you look at their power and their stadium, but there's some intangibles. These guys are a great fielding team. They'd gone 18 games without making an error. And if you're going to go against the Yankees at their new Yankee Stadium, you have to do it with the right pitcher. And now you got to be careful about what pitcher you go with. I was thinking about taking Texas on Tuesday with Padilla at a big price, but he wasn't the right fit. I mean, you can't really take a pitcher who you know, wants to challenge these guys with high heat. But you can't really take a nibbler either because the Yankees are a very patient team.
This team has the best record in the American League, the second best record in all of baseball, and yet they're 26th in ERA. So with absolutely no quality pitching, they've been able to. I mean, not. I wouldn't say not quality. I would just say not stud pitching.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, they have some big names, and you would expect more from them.
Well, CC got off to a slow start. And I, you know, I went against CC at the beginning because he's never been to me a pitcher that I thought would be able to handle the media that he was going to face in New York.
He gets hot late, too.
You know, now, you know, he's found his groove. I mean, you know, now he's pitching like the stud that they paid him all the money for. So you had, you know, his ERA was big at the beginning of the season. And let's face it, they're knocking the ball out of the park in, you know, in Yankee Stadium. You know, I mean, bring back the Bronx Bombers. I mean, it's they're flying out of there.
Well, crazier thing is, not to cut you off, that, you know, we always say they're overpriced. If you were flat betting the Yankees $100 every game heading into tonight's game, you'd be up a unit and a half. You'd be up 1.5. Even after all the juice, after all the vig, they're only 31-21, but you'd be up money. You know, that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, you know, good point. Even though they got the right great record, they're not. You wouldn't be making that much money. I tried to get an under to work there. It did work, but boy, I had to sweat it out. It was a couple weeks ago in interleague with Cole Hamels pitching. I tried to go under 9, and he was pitching against, I believe it was Teixeira. And I watched the play, and Teixeira broke his bat in half. I'm thinking, well, this is going to be a pop-up. It was a home run. I mean, this just didn't clear. It went about 6-7 rows in on a broken bat.
I'll tell you, to me, the turning point for the Yankee season was the Minnesota series a couple weeks ago. They had a 4-game series against Minnesota. They trailed in every single game of that series. They came back, tied games up in the 9th inning, sent it into extra innings, won. It's something to, you know, and this will be a thing that, you know, we'll put as a pregame nugget. When you see a team have a series like that where they scrapped and clawed, come from behind, and that is what starts winning streaks. That builds chemistry. That, you know, that they could have easily went 0-4 in that series, and they went 4-0, and that is what catapulted this winning streak.
And the no error. You know, when you have a reason to go to the ballpark and really play, like, I mean, you see this team, which isn't known for their defense, and they're going after it, man. Like, I mean, they broke the record, or, yeah, they broke it, right? They tied it, then they broke it, the record for no errors in a game. And you saw them in their games. I ended up watching their games, even though I didn't have the money. And BK had them the other night, had the Yankees big. And I'm sitting there cheering them in, and I don't even have them. But I was just enjoying watching them get after it. You know, when you have that extra incentive in sports is so huge. And as a handicapper for betting, just little reasons like that, if you could pick up are huge. You could make money off them.
Absolutely. Moving to the second team I want to talk about here is, again, listen to our podcast because, you know, we tell you things. We look at teams that are maybe ready to make moves up or make moves down. And here's a team we talked about, you know, a week or so ago, the Philadelphia Phillies. We said that this team is ready to make a move. They started the season slow. They had the hangover from, you know, winning the World Series and all of that last year, got the slow start. Their ace, you know, Hamels was pitching horrible to start the season. All of a sudden, you look here, we're at the beginning of June. Who's in first place in the NL East but the Philadelphia Phillies, and they're playing great ball, and they're continuing to do it on the road. best record in baseball on the road, 18-6. This team's incredible.
They still have a losing record at home.
They do. What's up with that? You're the Philly homeboy.
I don't get. They have. Could you imagine when if their pitching comes around? I mean, they've already built a 2.5-game lead in the NL East, which isn't that easy of a division. I don't think so. With Florida, Atlanta, and the Mets, which are all hovering around 500 or even a little better. So I don't know why this team is not able to win at home yet this year, especially since they're used to this park. They've played it now for a number of years. It's been good to them in the past. I just don't know why they have not been able to get it done at home.
Well, we're only a third of the way through the season.
We still
have two-thirds of the way through. What's impressing me about the Phillies is they need their young pitchers to step up. And they got this rookie, pitched his first game, looked real good on Tuesday night.
Bastardo.
Happ has looked good for them. And these young guys are really stepping up for them.
And look at that. When you look at that lineup, I mean, Rollins, Victorino, Utley, Howard, you know, that's some offense.
Rollins has not had a good year yet.
No, exactly.
They finally, you know, they started hitting the ball too. I mean, they're scoring runs now that, you know, helps those pitchers. I mean, they put up a 10 spot last night. You know, they had 9 runs 3 games ago, 4 and 5. You know, you keep going out there every night and putting runs on the board. It makes the pitching a lot easier for your starters.
Their number 5 batter's batting .340, that Ibanez. So, I mean, it's tough to get through that lineup.
And I think, and this is going to segue into the third team that we're going to talk about, but this is a good time for them to make some separation. I think everybody believes that the Mets are the team, you know, the most logical team to contend with Philadelphia. You know, but right now, you know, Steven, you've got a lot of thoughts on the New York, you know, Mets and the injury situation. Why don't you, you know, tell us about them?
Well, I'll start off by asking a question, Markle, to you and VR. Why can't the Mets hire a good manager? I mean, Willie Randolph, Jerry Manuel, come on.
Yeah, from bad to worse.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of problems. They've got injuries and they've got sickness. They had their middle infield, it was down to like Ramon Martinez and Alex Cora, and these guys are hurt now. I mean, we're going all the way down to Wilson Valdez. I mean, that's your starting shortstop right now?
Yeah.
I mean, you got problems. I mean, Delgado's out, Church is out, Reyes is out, Beltran's been sick. They've got some serious problems. Putz hasn't done the job as their setup man.
No, it's like you said, when you look at that lineup, you know, and Santos and Valdez, and I mean, this team is suffering from injuries. But what's surprising is they're 28-23. I mean, somehow they're still surviving, and somehow they're still always favored.
Well, even though he lost last night to the Pirates, Santana's almost good for a win every time. You get a great start from him.
They've been wasting some of his efforts. Yeah. I mean,
tell me about it. He's on my rotisserie team. I paid top dollar for him. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, he has.
And like you said, and I can't resist, you know, Putz has been a real putz for the bullpen.
But what do
not
you
on
think?
My rotisserie.
What's going to happen now with the Mets? They're a team that's won 6 of their last 10, but they're also a team that's lost 3 of their last 4. So what's going to happen in the next 10
fade
days?
Fade them and play under them.
I agree. I'm someone that I like the Mets. In the National League, I thought they would be good this year. Health has been the problem, has been the issue. We haven't seen this team 100%, I don't think, all year. And if they were 100%, I think they're a very capable team, even with lack of management, like Steve said.
They got to get some bats back in the lineup. I mean, in their last, I'm looking at their last 5-6 games, they've only scored over 3 runs once.
Yeah, and, you know, and the one 3-2 time it was a loss.
You know, so you know they got to get some, you know, because they're not. You can't win every game 2-1 and 3-2.
You know, they got a really good looking rookie outfielder, Fernando Martinez. You know, highly touted. So what does he do? He hits a pop-up, doesn't run it out. Of course, they drop it. You know, what does that tell you? I mean, what's going on with that? You know,
the manager situation in New York, you know, it's New York is just different than any other city in the country. I mean, the media, the newspapers, I mean, you're under constant scrutiny. It takes a certain kind of, you know, manager to be able to handle that. And, you know, and that's why, you know, Yankee wise, and you know, look what he's doing with the Dodgers. Joe Torre's a mastermind. Joe Torre handles all the pressures. He able to handle superstars. You know, you need a certain disposition to be able to manage in New York. And I just don't think these choices were there.
Joe Torre's probably headed to the Hall of Fame as a manager. He was also a very good player, too, but not as some brilliant strategist, which he'll never be accused of being, but just maybe as the all-time best manager as far as handling the media, handling the players, you know, having a right environment for certain teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That any way you look at it, that's where the problem is.
He's the ultimate player's coach. I mean, he can be your friend. He can be a father figure, and he can get the job done, you know, when he's got to make decisions. And the Yankees were stupid for letting him go.
The Mets are on the road, and then they have homestands against the Phillies. And I think you're right. I think they're going to be a high-priced team that you could look to fade, maybe back the Phils there as a dog.
Definitely a big series for them. Hey, that's a great second segment, guys. We're going to be back here for the third segment, which is everybody's favorite segment. I give away some of RJ's money, and we give you guys some winners. So we'll be back in one moment.
For free, real-time odds, lines, and scores, visit pregamelines.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Betting Preview Show. This is our third and final segment. This is my favorite part of the show. Giving away RJ's money, and we'll have some free picks for you, too, in this segment. Let's get things started with our coupon for this week. And every week we give you guys, for listening to the show, a coupon. It's good for $10. You can go to our site, go to Pregame Pros, and you can check out all of our hot cappers. And I'll tell you about one hot capper in a moment. But if you use, since it's the NBA Finals this week, type in with a checkout. When you go to checkout, put Finals 10. That's the word finals and the number 10, and you will get $10 off your order. It's a one-use coupon, and you can use that coupon from now through through Monday. It'll be good through Monday. And I want to tell you, Larry Ness, a longtime capper here at in this business and here at Pregame, he's on a run in baseball. He's having a great season in baseball. His 20-star plays, there are 19-7 for the baseball season, but his 20-star perfect storm plays a perfect 9-0 this year. So check Larry out and all of our other red-hot cappers. And before I get to our free pick, just a reminder, be sure to check out. It'll be up late in the afternoon on Thursday. I will be doing a Belmont preview for all of our horse followers. I'll break down this year's Belmont for you. That podcast will be up and live sometime late Thursday afternoon. And as we swing it to the free picks, we're going to kick it to Vegas Runner first. And VR, you know, you're tearing it up right now, baseball and basketball. And, you know, I want you to tell our listeners about your Bet Like a Pro program and just a great way to, you know, get locked up with VR.
Yeah, I'm doing really well, man, right now. I'm seeing things clearly. The projections I use for Major League Baseball are really doing well. So I'm really looking forward to the next few months. The Bet Like a Pro is probably the best program pregame has ever come up with. The concept is incredible because my guys don't get charged them weeks we lose. So far, like the Bet Like a Pro program, if you start it from when we kicked it off, it's up almost 20 units. That's not counting what we won in boxing and the fights, any other exotics. It's not counting any teasers, that kind of stuff, a lot of pushes that were wins. So they're ahead. You know, you're definitely nicely ahead. But the bottom line is, during the year, you're going to have some losing stretches any way you cut it. I mean, if you're a 60% capper, which very few are, you're going to have some terrible stretches. But my guys don't get charged during my bad runs. So even though they have the stress of losing to their book, on top of it, they don't have the stress of having to pay me. You know, even though I did work and I wanted them plays to win, bottom line is they didn't win. And what we're trying to sell is certainty. You know, I mean, or at least long-term certainty. And I love getting rewarded for doing a good job. And, you know, I love it. I'm excited. I'm getting great response from it. More and more people are signing up and seeing that you can make money in this racket, but it's long term. You have to be disciplined. You have to approach it like a business, and it will pay like one. But it's not easy. If it was, why the hell would anyone go to work?
Absolutely. Got a free pick for us this week?
Yeah, last week I gave out you had to jump through a couple hoops, but if you did, you got 5 units pending on the Lakers winning the NBA Finals. Those of you that are building your bankroll, go ahead. Bet 2 units on Orlando and hedge. Myself, I want to be. I'm not trying to build my bankroll to bet more. You know, right now I try to build my bankroll to gain profit. So I'm not going to hedge. But this week, again, you got to jump through a couple of hoops, but I really like this bet. I think you wait till tomorrow's game to end. I think Pittsburgh probably beats the Red Wings again, and it goes 2-2. And then I want you to jump on the Detroit Red Wings to win the series. Teams that win game 1 and 2 at home are an incredible 90-something percent in the NHL. I think that's just a huge advantage. This team has beaten Pittsburgh last year, so they have that going for them. And I think they're just going to be too much for this Pittsburgh team. I think they'll be able to close it out within 6. So I'm definitely going to end up giving that out to my clients that following day when it does happen, at least a 3-star series bet. So that's my free play. Bet the Red Wings to win the series, but sit back, let it go 2-2 first, unless you're willing to lay the price it is right now.
Okay, so while we were in break, you were pounding on your microphone and rubbing it, not realizing that I still had the headphone on and your mic was live. So I'm now deaf in one ear, and now in my good ear, I got to listen to you tell me that my Penguins are dead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Marco. They're not. Okay. I love the Penguins, but they're just not
Steven,
a better team.
I have good news for you. Your tires aren't flat this week. Okay, I have a new target out in the parking lot.
Well, Marco, our Pittsburgh man, don't be greedy. You got the Steelers a championship,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm more talking about concepts at this time of year rather than giving out specific games in advance. I think in baseball, we're about roughly a third of the way through the season. Look at some of these teams that are doing well that may be a little bit surprising, and then break down their schedule and find out if most of their games have been against non-500 teams. I went and did that, and what have I come across is the Detroit Tigers. They've played mostly a soft schedule, and I think they're a team now to fade. Just talking in general terms here, Porcello's been great for them, but he lost the other day, and I just think it's time to – they've been playing over their heads. They've had a soft schedule. Their schedule gets tougher now. Fade the Tigers.
Okay, and you mentioned the young pitcher, and we'll throw out another pregame nugget. I've always been a firm believer that pitchers have an extreme advantage over the hitters first time around the league. When you got these young guys, you know, coming up and the first time teams see them, they're the side you want to back. You want to back the young pitchers. As they start facing teams for the second time, that's where you're going to get the value. You know, some of these pitchers are overrated, and you can pick up some nice dog prices. So good point, Steven. Anything on any streaks you want to tell us about? Anything going?
I've been doing well in baseball the latter part of May and so far the early part of June. I'm 8-4 in baseball with my last 12 picks. And my style, I don't give out big favorites. My style is mainly totals, dogs, and short favorites.
Absolutely. I'm going to go to you. My free pick last week, we gave you a pick. We told you to take the Detroit Tigers, the game that Verlander pitched, and we told you he's been a stud over the last 4 or 5 starts, and they came through for a win for us. So I'm going to give you another play where we're going to look to isolate a pitcher. And quickly, I've been on a very nice run in baseball. My baseball and basketball plays, we're on a 15-4 run with our last 19 plays. More importantly, not more importantly than 15-4, but the first month of the season in baseball, I let my Pittsburgh team kind of just sit there and dissect the situations. I've been pounding my plays with the Pirates, going with or against or using totals. I've just been zigging and zagging and hitting the totals, and we're on a nice run, and it's upped my record in 2009 involving Pittsburgh teams to 21-8. So it's going good, and actually my free pick's going to be involving a Pittsburgh situation. They played the Astros last weekend, and I actually had an under in the game that Hampton pitched, and the game ended up being 2-1. They're going to be in Houston this weekend. I am going to go with the Pirates to beat Hampton, facing him for the second time in a short period of time. I'm going to take the Pirates on the road. You should get them as a dog. And so just bet Pittsburgh against Hampton, the game he goes during the weekend series. And that's going to be my free pick this week. Guys, again, we're going to have the Belmont show. We'll be back next week. We might be minus a VR. He's going to be in L.A.
Yeah,
for his birthday.
Yeah, you will be 100%.
Minus VR, but Stephen and I will be here, and we'll drag that guy out of the CEO room maybe to come in and set in next week so we can have a third voice in here.
I look forward to this, honestly, every week. It's going to suck.
Okay, well, it's really going to suck for you and your tires are flat today. But that's okay. Hey, this is Marco D'Angelo along with Vegas Runner and Stephen Nover. And this has been the Sports Betting Preview Show, a pregame.com podcast. We'll be back with you next week, same time. Good luck to everybody this week.